Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All right, this show brought to you in part by SimpliSafe. If you have 30 minutes, you never have to worry about break-ins ever again. Just go to simplisafe.com/Adam, get all the sensors you need, all the help you need as well to set it up. Custom system's going to show up post-haste at simplisafe.com/Adam.
Well, in the first half, Dr. Stephen Gundry is going to turn your keto world upside down with some good news. March Madness is coming as well. First, there's Geico. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
I'm Dave Detman, also known as Dr. Gadget. I've got a new podcast called The Big Idea, and every week I talk to inventors and visionaries who made it big in their respective industries. We'll tackle weekly trending tech, provide inside tips for your success, and go deep dives on the latest and greatest innovations. And I know you're going to love this part. I'll also have plenty of free giveaways. Who doesn't love free stuff? So listen to and follow The Big Idea with me, Dr. Gadget, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podcast One, and wherever you get your podcasts.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, comedian Jessica Kearson and Dr. Stephen Gundry. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and another round of March Madness. And now, a man whose parents took John Lennon's call to imagine no possessions, literally, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on a church, get it on a mandate, get it on. Yeah. Imagine a world where you didn't leave your kids jack squat. Because that's really what they were doing. Gina Grad, good to see you.
Good to see you.
And Bald Brian.
Hey, sorry I ruined your show.
All right. So we got Madness. We got Stephen Gundry. We talk a little keto and plant-based keto and all that.
He wrote the book.
Literally.
He wrote the book, and then we'll do some comedy and all that good stuff.
Before we do that, can we just please acknowledge the interview with Bill Maher and how great it was? The only challenge I found in it was not picturing Kyle Dunnigan. Otherwise, truly a challenge
for me.
That's
right.
I thought it was. But truly, if you didn't hear it, please go back and listen to it.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, Bill's an interesting guy. You know the guys you want to talk to? Be it Bill Maher or Mike Tyson. Same dude.
Right.
You want to talk to the hard guys who softened over the years. Because they're hard to talk to when they're in hard phase. You know what I mean? That's still, they're kind of protecting something. They're always got their sort of porcupine needles up. Don't go there. You know, there's a lot of that. And then they get older. And the testosterone goes down a little. They get a little more self-reflective, and now they get a little more nuance, and you can talk to them about stuff. Now, the people that are nice, and maybe nice isn't the right word, but the people that kind of protect themselves, have an image, have a bravado, whatever it is, those are the guys you want to talk to. The ones that are nice straight through, that's good, but you could have interviewed them when they were 30, and you would have gotten the same information out of them. You know, so what it is these guys go through their whole career and nobody really knows their vulnerabilities, their insecurities, what they were going through, what they were thinking about. And that's the way they liked it. And
they had to protect themselves, to protect their brand.
That. Yes. Yeah, right? Yes. Like the great Burt Reynolds would say. But then you get them a little later in life and you can open that chapter a little bit. And it always feels weird because I'm always, I felt like he was doing Kyle Dunnigan doing him.
Yeah.
I was so
it was
Pavlovianly attached to Kyle Dunnigan's version of Bill Maher.
Especially when he was out of the gate with how much he disliked kids and had no use for them.
And the thing that was kind of interesting about it is, as I said, which is most people don't like kids because they had a shit relationship with their parents and they don't want to go through that again. And, you know, oh, my parents had such a horrible divorce. I'm never getting married. There's a lot of that. But Bill was abused by kids.
Yeah.
And
like bullied.
In a way, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
And also, you could just, you can picture him at nine. Like, of course, the only thing that would prevent him at age nine from being bullied is if he was taller than all the kids in his class. But he, in fact,
quite
was smaller than everybody and had this bizarre worldview of a, you know, basically a 45-year-old when he was nine.
He looked down on cartoons. He would never watch them.
Right. So I would have bullied him for not fucking watching Speed Racer because my entire life was built around Speed Racer.
Right.
So that was interesting. So thanks and give it a listen. The other thing he said, which will get us into Stephen Gundry at some point, is he just said of course, he's keto, and abs are made in the kitchen. And
Maher?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he is.
Are you surprised?
I mean, they wouldn't think that's the first thing. You know what I mean? Look at the guy.
Well, let's look at it. Well, why wouldn't you, though? He's very fit, you know?
He's slim, but I'm slim. I don't have abs of steel.
I know, but you're... Oh, you mean keto versus... I thought we were talking about keto the kitchen.
Yeah,
yes,
when you say the phrase abs are made in the kitchen, like, he has abs?
Oh, that was my... That's where I was going.
Oh, he does. He's very fit. Actually, Gio emailed me a picture of him from movie role from, like, the 90s or the 80s or something.
Damn!
Him getting into a hot tub in a Speedo, and he's fit.
A cauldron.
A cauldron. Or hot tub. All right. Anyway, let's not get mired in that. My point is it is, I think everyone gets very much into exercise, which is good, but Vinny has said it many times. You want to drop the LBs, get into the diet side of it. Mm-hmm. I'm 1 month away from my Trans Am race. So I'm that, you know, whatever your wedding was, Gina, mm-hmm. pales in comparison.
Really?
To this.
Remember, why? I wasn't in a corseted dress. I had to be able to zip it. It was a big deal.
Your pictures are going to be adorning your walls for generations.
That's exactly right.
Well, same with me in the Trans Am race.
But my dress is cute.
You got to zip up the front of that fire suit. Sure. And when you're sucking it in. Yeah.
Good luck.
Mammy Kizzy behind you tugging on it.
Who's Mammy Kizzy
talking about?
Oh, Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, but I didn't know that was
Mammy Kizzy. I knew she was Mammy. I didn't know it was Kizzy.
I think it was Mammy.
I just saw the movie fucking when I had COVID 3 weeks ago or 2 months ago, whatever it was.
Was it? Well, now we got to check.
It was Mammy, but I never heard Kizzy.
She's buried at Hollywood Forever. What's her name?
Hattie McDaniel.
Thank you.
Yes. First nominated African-American or
I believe she was. I think she's allowed to go to the ceremony.
That's right.
So, was it Mammy Kizzy?
Was it Mammy Kizzy? For sure.
Right. Mammy we got. Yeah. And she was helping Scarlett O'Hara get into her corset, like tightening her up. But so, yeah, a deep dive. Well, I watched 40 minutes of On the Waterfront last night, so I'm in a reflective mood with Sonny, who thankfully lost steam with it.
Oh, even Sonny.
I haven't even ventured on that one.
Well, it's interesting watching On the Waterfront, in that I think it was filmed in like 1954. You just forget how mechanical everything was back then. All guys, they carried a hook and they got the bananas and they put them on their back and they carried them off the ship, and then they'd go into the bar at night. It was all cash and bottles of beer, and it was just like, it was so McKay. It was like no different than the 20s.
Well, same with Jim J. Braddock and Cinderella Man. Remember he had the hook, and they were doing like sacks of grain or whatever it was?
Right. Yeah. It's interesting, and Mammy Kizzy isn't... where'd Mammy Kizzy
I think
coming
Kizzy
from?
Is... Kizzy's from Roots, so I'm wondering if you're combining Mammy and
shameful.
Kizzy.
Oh. That is shameful.
I did black simile.
How dare you?
I've taken Kizzy and woven Mammy onto it. So You know, but Sonny said something interesting. We start a little late. It's black and white. It's slow as molasses. It's kind of interesting. Looking at all the actors and actresses and Carl Malden and everything. And, you know, I said when he decided to call it quits for the night and then make it a two-parter for later on tonight, I said, so what's the deal, Sonny? Because he's hell-bent on watching all the black and white stuff from all the day. I said...
It sounds good.
Yeah, I said, so what do you think? Because you're interested in all this stuff, but you stopped. Yeah, well, it's late. I got to get up early. I said, okay, but what about it? And he said, we got about 35, 38 minutes in. He said, it's not really captured me yet. Like, I'm not that interested in it.
That's fair.
But they've kind of set the table. I could see me becoming interested in this. Like, there could be a...
He's pre-interested?
He's pre-interested. There could be an interest payday coming down the pike. All right, so...
Has Adventure in the Manchurian Candidate yet?
Yeah.
That is a black and white movie that fucking kicks.
I think he's got into all that.
Oh,
speaking of him, came home with two flat tires on his electric bike.
The only tires.
Yeah, all the tires.
All the tires. 100% of the tires were flat. Wanted me to go down to the garage and take care of business. I went down there about 9:15 at night. Bike was a mess, and I just struggled with getting the tire and the tube and the stuff and put all back together, pulled the back.
Did he want you to patch it or
front rim off? Hey, I thought the tube didn't have a hole, but the tire was old and bad, and the tires were really worn. Anyway, I just went down there, took the front rim off, wrestled with it for a while, fired up the compressor, filled them up, got both tires, you know, with 35 PSI in them, ready to go, turned it back on its feet. And then I did what I always do. Isn't it nice? Isn't it nice that somebody here knows things?
Yeah.
Like for you. Isn't this nice? I got a garage full of fucking tools and I know how to do stuff. That then brought this out, which was Natalia shut her door to her bedroom. And the doorknob, and I'm hoping that sort of spindle between the knobs, I'm guessing fell through and landed inside the room, and thus the door was
stuck
shut. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't around, and the fire department was called at 1 a.m.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
She couldn't get in her room.
Where were you?
I was in Malibu.
Wait a second. She was inside the house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm missing something. You have how?
Because you can't get out of a room.
Can't get into her
can't
room.
Can't get into her room.
I thought you said out.
She could. Do you have a guest room? Does she have a couch?
Maybe not out. I don't know.
I didn't ask her what
side of the door she was on. I was assuming she was out. She just couldn't get in.
There's a big difference between just like, I can't get in my room to I can't get out of my room.
Yeah. It's got a bathroom. But.
Ensuite.
Now I'm just picturing that square female hole with where you just take a flathead screwdriver and pop it in
pliers,
there.
Pliers, anything that'll grab it.
No, you don't need to grab it. I think.
No, not grab. Sorry, the pliers you put in. You know, the pliers that go like this. And just turn.
Are you looking for the word needle nose? Right?
Needle nose pliers.
Yeah, anything you can wedge in there and turn it. But
Barbie legs will work.
Yes.
They will.
But I thought, you know, every time I announce, I know shit. Mm-hmm. Everyone, right. But it's good. It's good to have tools. Good to know stuff.
How did this shake out? How did they get in if she, in fact, couldn't get out of her room?
They, two units rolled up. Now, to be fair to her, the firehouse is one block away.
Okay.
So they're not coming from, you know, Arcadia.
If she's ostensibly in the house alone, how'd they get into the house?
No, I think her mom couldn't get the thing.
So
open.
She was
nope.
outside. Okay.
Maybe she was outside. I don't know. But I'll find
get to
that
the
out.
Of this.
Well, either, look, if she's outside or she's inside, that door ain't going to open itself.
Right.
And the guy who knows how to do it ain't there. Yeah. So you got to call the fire department. But
it takes 10 dudes to replace you with the door.
You take the grabby things.
Yeah, I take the grabby thing.
Yeah.
So there was that. But anyway, I walked down to the garage this morning and both tires were flat. So all the work I did was for naught. Yeah, I
don't,
there's holes in the tube or whatever. Whatever's going on is going on. And the tires are old and they need to be replaced and blah, blah, blah.
Did you get a thanks anyway?
Yeah, Sonny's okay. The thing about being able to do a lot of shit, people just assume you can do a lot of shit.
Right.
And then you're just the guy who does a lot of shit.
No skin off your back.
And that they always do is they go, he likes that stuff. Which is their way of not having to thank you or do it themselves. You know what I mean? And I tell people all the time, yeah, I like architecture. I like restoring race cars, stuff like that. I don't like going to some shitty electric bike at 9:15 and get my hands all fucked up in a cold garage, putting the tire back on. That is not
vast difference.
Something there is a version of life where you build Nick Offerman's canoe, and then there's a version where you recalk someone's bathtub.
Yeah.
Not satisfying.
Patch a hole in the drywall. That's fine.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
All right. So there was that. But it was also, I woke up with this thought today, maybe as it pertains to Sonny, who's zooming around on his electric bike. I was thinking about fear. And it's something we've talked about and having to conquer it and having all the fear just instilled into everyone's world. And then I thought about when I was a kid, and I've told you guys this before and all through my life almost, of just being haunted by things I was scared of, but not haunted by them, haunted by not taking them on.
And, you're in the minority.
It bothered me when I was, you know, when I was, what I haven't told you guys this one in a while, but I did tell you I was, you know, graduation day from the sixth grade at Colfax Elementary after verbally assaulting one of the noon aides once I was sprung from detention. First order of business. There is a church, Gina may know it, that's almost directly across the street from Colfax Elementary.
There is. They're currently doing a talent show.
They are?
Yeah, we're trying to get our kid in it.
That's the church.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't attend church, but I attended it on a BMX bicycle and would always be zooming through the courtyard and zooming over here and going down. There's a little hill, you know, that goes down, zooming down the sidewalk. And she couldn't get in her... Yeah, room. She was stuck outside. Yeah, that's what I assumed. So I don't know what, but I wasn't.
Less
I don't
heroin.
Know why I assumed that. Yeah. Anyway, so I would go zooming in there, but there was a set of stairs. Chris, I believe we'll find them for a different show. But I'll go down and take a picture of those stairs. On that, there was a set of stairs. It's about 8 or 9 stairs, probably about 5.5-6 foot worth of upper level down to the lower level. But it was in a stuccoed corridor.
At the church?
Outside the church.
Like saying,
at the church.
Home.
At the church. And it led down to the small street.
Okay.
And I never had the guts to jump it on my bike. I never did.
This was the day.
I was haunted by these stairs. Because I didn't, it was a narrow corridor outside, stucco walls on both sides. And if I didn't stick the landing, I was going up against the stucco at a high rate of speed and I was going to fuck myself up. But it bothered me so much that I wasn't doing it. I thought about it. And then when I graduated from the sixth grade, I thought, well, now you're a man.
Yeah.
Now this is your bar mitzvah. And you're going to have to take a run at those stairs. And was no fanfare. I didn't have anyone with me or anything. I just went on my bike and I was like, now it is time. And I had the same relationship with the loading dock behind the Gelson's.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cement loading dock. It's got about a 36, 38 inch, you know, with a load. They back up the... Back up the stairway to heaven.
That's right.
They back up the big 18-wheelers there. It's 40 inches off the ground. It's like, it's bothering me. It's haunting me. It's taunting me. I got to go off it on my bike. I got to get a run off it. And I did it at the church. And I did it at Gelson's. And I ate shit at the church. Just hit the stucco wall and spilled out onto the sidewalk.
And I was done. Then I was done with it. I had to do it. And so I thought, what the fuck is that impulse? Because Sonny doesn't have 1 gram of that in him. He's not going into the ocean because 90% of the ocean is unexplored. That's his answer.
Not
for
the
that.
6 feet of coast that he would be in.
That's shoreline. How I approach it. But he's including that into the Marianas Trench. So, but I thought, yeah, that's a thing. And it was always there and it always bothered me. And it was always something to be tamed or slayed or contended with. But I do realize it was there for a reason. And I didn't know what the reason was. And I didn't know, you know, it wasn't for attention. You know, a lot of guys do a kind of jackass move when the cheerleaders are watching or whatever. But I would do my shit alone for the most part. Unless it involved jumping the bike over people who were laying down, which was a big, big move out of my youth. You lay down and, you know, see if they could clear you, which we would do. In that case, you had witnesses. But it was just something that was like, oh, man, I got to wrestle with this all the time. And as I've always said, when I got the call, you want to do Dancing with the Stars? I was like, oh, I'm scared. Mm-hmm. And then I went, oh, shit, now it's on. Now I have to do that. Right. That Dancing with the Stars became the staircase at the church 25 years later.
Right.
But some of it will get you fucked up, but none of it will fuck you up even more. Just not having any of that relationship with fear, conquering fear, approaching fear.
Yeah.
And then once the media just spoon feeds it to you, then it becomes damaging.
Well, and like you've said about other things, that could be the other side of that coin. When the media is spoon feeding you fear, it satiates that part of you that feels like you are in danger. So you don't really have to do anything.
Fear,
right.
Yeah.
And I have the same relationship with guns because I was scared of everything growing up and hated everything and wouldn't go down slides. And I was scared of everything. And when I got to my 20s and I went to shoot a gun for the first time and sort of dropped it on the little table right there because the noise freaked me out, the kick freaked me out. And at first, I'd never had this thought in my life, but my thought was, I guess I have to shoot guns now. And I was a member at Oak Ridge for a long time. I have a gun. So this became like sort of that fear to conquer.
It's a really important part of life. And it's very counterintuitive because you hear fear, you feel fear, and you want to go the other direction. But
it keeps us from being eaten by tigers.
Leaning into it when the time is right and when a semi-consistent level makes you much more able to negotiate, navigate life. Mm. It just makes it – because it doesn't just live at the stairs of the church or on the parquet at Dancing with the Stars. It spills into other facets of life.
Can I give you an upcoming example
that
I wasn't going to say but so now
– having a baby.
No, there's the barren. Now that – you know, like – when I do something scary and I go, well, how do I even know I can do this? And now I say, because I have tons of examples of having done it a million times, whatever it is, facing a fear and being fine. And be it economical or actual physical pain or not knowing or being out of control, all these things have stopped me from doing something I've wanted to do for 20 years, which I'm going to do 2 days before my birthday on April 29th. Say goodbye to thee.
No!
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out, baby.
Now, don't worry. When they told me, you know, we can only take you to, and they told me the cup size, I was like, yeah, no, that's what people consider large.
News girl tryouts?
Fuck you. But
April 28th?
I've been scared to do it. I've been, you know, I've had all these fears. And it's funny because it kind of lands on my birthday, 2 days before my birthday. And I feel like it is kind of my achievement day because I have the means to do it now. I have the support. I have this wonderful husband. You know, all these things that I wanted. And I'm scared, but I'm really excited.
We're black that day.
I'm excited. So you're going to see me with, I don't know, in a bit of a Vicodin haze, some compression bandages.
You coming to work that day?
Not that day, oh, but a couple. I'll take like maybe 2 days. And
yeah,
I don't have to have drains, which were the make me gag just thinking about them.
I don't even know what
literally,
drains are.
Literally, oh my God! Literally, from your incision site, there are these like clear tubes with like these bags, and they literally just fill up with like drainage, like blood and everything.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Yes. Wow. And you have to empty them. No, that is a non-starter. But now that we're,
it's one would avoid it.
Fuck you.
It'd make for the ultimate game of spoons, if you guys remember how that game was played. You guys never played spoons?
I've played a version of spoons where you grab spoons.
Is it where you flip it?
The
spoons where you get to put anything in the kitchen into a spoon, and if you lose, you got to...
Oh, no, I don't know that.
But that's, it was like limited to cookie. Paprika and baking soda in the past.
I just threw up in my mouth.
So no drains, but it's, you know, it's a pretty gnarly surgery, and it's, guess how long it takes? Remember, there's two of them.
Oh, well, you're saying guess, so it's either short or long. Yeah. I'm going 45 minutes.
I've just sucked 1 year of your life away.
So somewhere between 45 minutes and a year.
I'll bet it's quick. I'll bet it's like, yeah, an hour.
7 hours.
Whoa! So, you know, Jesus, I really Christ. Think twice about this.
I asked. It was so funny. I had many consultations, and I asked one of the doctors, like, why does it take so long? And he goes, there's two of them. When you're done with one, you have to start over and do the other one.
Well, I support you, Gina.
Thank you.
And
don't worry. It's not going to be concave by any stretch.
All right. We're up against it because we got March Madness to do, and we got Stephen Gundry hopping on in about 6 minutes. So.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's not your fault. But tell Stephen we're about 5 minutes off our pace. That's okay. All right. Now let me stand up here.
You got your bell?
Oh, my bell.
It's time for another round of the bigger ants of March Madness. In the last round of meltdown matchups, Red Terneros made sure the lottery was scratched off everyone's brackets. Leaf Blowers got trampled by the LA Marathon. And DJ Khaled will be around for another one after just edging out The View. Today, after a few days off, his vocal cords are rested and ready to get tested. Let's continue in the Classics Conference with Backup Beepers versus Click It or Ticket.
Well, Backup Beepers, look, I understand the person behind you needs to know you're backing up, but why does the entire goddamn neighborhood need to know you're regressing? You know what I mean? Think about it symbolically. You're physically moving backwards in your life, and the whole world knows about it now. And it used to be limited. Backup beepers were for skip loaders and garbage trucks exclusively when I was a kid. Now every pallet jack, every forklift, every F-150 pickup truck has a fucking backup beeper in it, so that now everything has a backup beeper. It is fucking ubiquitous. And I ask you, can we look forward to a world where a kid can't leave his house without his backup beeping belt firmly affixed across his gunt? Because that's where we're heading, people. These people do not stop backing up. They do not stop beeping. And how about we limit it to three? Once you start the steamroller, limit it to the first three. The fucking slow kid doesn't move by then, he's fucking pancake.
Click it or ticket.
Click it or ticket. It is 2022. And when we're not talking about racism, we're arguing with you to put on a seatbelt, which is already on. I don't think anyone's actually racist in this country, and I don't think the seatbelt isn't on. And let me just say this. Can you talk someone out of being racist by telling them to knock it off? And can you get the grizzled Vietnam veteran who has sworn not to ever put a seatbelt on to put the seatbelt on because you have a clickish phrase that's up there, a fancy phrase on there? And then what about the use of those freeway signs? We can put anything on there. Stop blaming your parents. That would work. Or what about my turn right on a red? Right you are. We just slap it on right there. Hug your kids.
How about that? Oh, how about a latest campaign? Don't throw your fucking piss bottle out of the fucking moving vehicle, you assholes.
I liked a lot the equating of the racist with the seatbelt non-wearer.
Yeah.
However, for me, I give it the nod to the backup beeper because there was a manivation invention in there. The kid with the backup belt.
Over his guns.
Over his guns.
I agree. That was the part that it was a head scratcher, but also something I'm interested in. Maybe we put backup beepers on the kids. Let's go with that.
I like that. Backup beepers.
Next up in the Pop Culture Conference, Dr. Sanjay Gupta versus Lizzo.
Oh.
Dr. Sanjay Gupta, if that is your real name, I'm going to look into this shit. You go on Joe Rogan's show on a Tuesday, you apologize for peddling misinformation about horse pace, and then the following day, lesson not learned, on with Don Lemon, explaining, well, technically, it can still be used. Yes, we get it. It's for one thing, and it's for another thing. As a man of science, can you wrap your mind around this exquisite concept of one thing being for another thing? But the biggest problem is we just talked about fear. He is a fear-peddling merchant. He peddles fear porn. He is the Bobby Hollander.
Oh.
The Bobby Hollander of CNN. I know it's been said many times, but I'm reiterating it. You scare the fuck out of everyone. You shut the schools down. You set the policies. You lock people in their house and they die of alcohol consumption. But you don't care because you saved 2.5 people that were morbidly obese. I said good day. Lizzo. First off, Lizzo, God bless you. You play the flute. But that is not a slimming instrument when you're a large-hipped gal. I say bass saxophone. You could hide behind that all day long, and your carriage would help you wail on that thing. So, A, you picked the wrong instrument. And if you ever go down to the piccolo, go ahead and put on another 150 pounds, because that's what it's going to look like. But what about the attire? Do you have to wear the thong back all the time and jiggle all your lady parts? Remember when women had a little dignity and they wore something called a moo-moo? I never thought about that name. What does the cow say? Moo-moo. Yes, that's who's in front of you in the frozen food section of the Luckies. Now look, you're not the first big gal to ever come down the pike. Aretha Franklin, the queen of soul, came before you. She had a carriage on her, but you know what? She put on a loose-fitting blouse, and she fucking sung, and then she shut the hell up.
Wow.
I'm at a loss.
Inspired.
Yeah.
The Bobby Hollander of CNN is really something.
Fantastic.
That said, no pun intended, I think there's more meat on the Lizzo bone.
Yeah, Sanjay Gupta, that's hand in hand with so many rants that we've heard, that we know, we understand where Adam's coming from. The Lizzo was a fresh take on something that I was not expecting.
Lizzo it is.
All right. Finally, in the big government conference, a battle of academic annoyances. It's teachers' unions versus food stamps and school lunch programs.
Teachers' unions. Oh, you guys are the best and the brightest. First off, big unions, big public sector unions. Should that even be allowed? Because you're controlling policy. You have our pussy governor scared of you, so you're setting COVID policy in the public schools that we all fucking pay for. You want to talk about science? You hanging a piece of glass in front of you from fishing string from the ceiling while you talk to kids. Oh, it's just science. But you've taken the money from the people, and you don't want competition. You don't want vouchers. You don't want school choice. Well, guess who else doesn't want competition? Taco Bell doesn't want competition. But sorry, they got Chipotle. And then we get a product based on the competition. Could you imagine if it was just government taco? Would anyone want to eat that gray meat with no flavor to it? No. Why is this any different? Schools, public schools, you are the government taco of our nation.
Food stamps and lunch programs. Is that what we're on? Oh, the lunch programs. Remember all the talk about the how are these kids going to eat? They have food insecurities. They go to bed hungry. The kids are morbidly obese. And then there was all this discussion of like, hey, we closed schools down for a year and a half. Who's going to feed these kids? Well, we did the experiment. We closed the schools down. The fat asses couldn't go graze on my fucking taxpayer dollar. And the kids got fatter. So I think we've done a little experiment. I think the parents can feed the kids because they all packed on the LBs when I wasn't feeding them for free at your school that you make me pay for. Listen, if you can't fucking cook a hard-boiled egg and give your kid a fucking apple, you shouldn't be a parent. The kid should be taken away. If a little bird can't be fed by the mama bird, then we have to fucking Jane Goodall, no, whatever her name was, she used to go on the Tonight Show, we'll collect her and fucking bottle feed that little chick. You got. I ran out of steam at the end.
No. You had a lot in the tank there.
So much passion.
No, it overfloweth. That cup overfloweth.
Yeah. I do like the name Government Taco as a punk band.
Yeah.
And
that's
I
true.
Really think you were onto something with that. I wouldn't want that taco, and I absolutely agree with you when it comes to school competition. I don't know. I really felt that one.
This one's closer than I expected. I like the existential question.
Yeah.
Should these unions even exist?
Right.
That opens a whole can of worms. I didn't have the word preferred to answer.
Yeah, I loved the second one. I think you made a lot of great points, but I just keep coming back to the competition and the government taco.
That buzzer beater for unions.
Tune in tomorrow for more from the round of 32 in March Madness. Madness.
All right, Dr. Stephen Gundry is waiting in the wings. First, I'll tell you about Simply Safe. U.S. News, PC Magazine, and Popular Science all ranked Simply Safe Home Security as the best security of 2021. And U.S. News just gave Simply Safe the nod for best home security in 2022 because it is a superior product, easy to set up. Peel and stick, batteries last up to 10 years, you know, no drilling, no pulling wires, no tech. I'm holding my fingers up in air quotes, tech, ex-con crawling around your house. Protect every door, window, and room 24/7, backed by the best professional monitoring in the business, ready to dispatch police, firefighters, and EMTs. Less than a buck a day. Set it up yourself in around 30 minutes. No long-term contract. Try it out for 60 days, risk-free. Customize your home's perfect system in just a few minutes at simplysafe.com/Adam. Go there, get the free indoor security camera plus 20% off interactive monitoring at simplysafe.com/Adam. Dr. Stephen Gundry is going to be with us right after this.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam, it's your buddy Denny from St. Louis. I was just listening to you talk about how you fish the food out that your daughter throws away. I also have a 15-year-old daughter, and just this week, she came home with some Chick-fil-A because she works there. She gets it for free, so it's not like it was even anything I paid for. But she got home, decided she didn't want the Chick-fil-A, threw it in the trash. I came by a few minutes later, saw it, took it out, and me and my youngest daughter had it for dinner. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, got about half the family throwing away the food, but then there's me, Olga, and our secret weapon, Phil, who is devouring all the food. Dr. Stephen Gundry is here, former cardiac surgeon and New York Times bestselling author, and a new book out recently, Unlocking the Keto Code, the revolutionary new science of keto that offers more benefits without deprivation. Sorry. Good to see you again, Doctor.
How are you, Adam? Good to see you and the gang.
I'm doing well. So what is this new bit we need to know involving a keto that's going to change our lives for the better?
Well, most people have heard of a keto diet or a ketogenic diet. What most people on a ketogenic diet run into is, number one, they get really frustrated that they can't have any carbohydrates. And there's actually a lot of interesting research that we are hardwired to seek out carbohydrates. And denying us carbohydrates usually makes us go crazy. And after eating, you know, a pound of cream cheese with a cheddar cheese topping and a side of butter every day, it gets really boring. And 60% of people on a ketogenic diet, a high-fat diet, stop after a month because they just can't take it any longer. So I've been using my version of a ketogenic diet in my two clinics for over 20 years now. That uses actually a lot more carbohydrates and a lot less fat and had really good success with it. And people will, but wait a minute, you know, how can this be a ketogenic diet? Well, I decided to write this book to show people that we can get the benefits of ketones, including weight loss, including better health, including getting rid of diabetes or pre-diabetes without all the misery of denying ourselves as long as we know some tricks. And so the book is, you know, here's some tricks we've learned over the years. And that's without the deprivation, getting the benefits of a ketogenic diet.
Well, that's all the time we have. Next, I'm excited. But it sort of reminds me when you turn on late night TV and there's a guy from Puerto Rico and he goes, you know, there's nothing in the Constitution that says you have to pay your taxes. Federal income taxes. I go, oh, God.
Listening.
Good. Right. So I'm excited, but I'm also, you know, a little skeptical.
Cautiously optimistic.
Good. So I'd love to hear what you have to say. And to your point of the sort of hardwiring DNA carb thing. And I would say, I don't know if you've researched this, but I feel like it's more in women even than in men. But I've experienced it in both where I've went, just do the keto thing. And it's like 10 minutes later, it's like bowl of cereal. It's like, I can't do it. Like, it feels a lot more like heroin than it does, you know, oh, stop chewing gum, you know, like, or something like that. It feels really in the DNA.
Well, and to your point, it could be psychosomatic. After all these years, I don't even know. But it may have something to do with, like, the menstrual cycle, because you do go, I just need what I need right now. And you don't think about that another 3 weeks of the month.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's very true. Actually, some researchers at the University of Sydney in Australia wrote a fun book called Eat Like the Animals. And they've actually shown in all species, including humans, that we have this innate desire to seek out carbohydrates. And, you know, I talk about them in the book. But, yeah, trying to, you know, go against this basic instinct is very, very difficult. But the nice thing is, you can actually get the benefits of a, quote, ketogenic diet without doing a high-fat diet. And let me be more specific. The ketogenic diet was actually designed for the treatment of childhood epilepsy in the 1930s. That's where it came from. And actually, the name ketogenic diet was coined at the Mayo Clinic in 1930. And it was a very high-fat diet, and they've 80% fat, 10% carbohydrates, 10% protein. And they found that kids on this diet dramatically lowered their seizures. And this was before any of the drugs came out. So it was the way to help kids. And they thought that somehow these ketones, which are produced by the liver when you're starving or when you don't have any carbohydrates, were somehow miraculous in preventing seizures in these kids. And there was a thought that the brain needed these ketones. Well, fast forward to the 80s and 90s and 2000s, when researchers at Harvard, Dr. Cahill, and at the NIH, Dr. Veach, actually showed that even at full ketosis, on a full ketogenic diet, you're pouring out ketones as a fuel out of your liver, that only 30% of our needs can be met by burning ketones as fuel. 30%, that's it. And the brain, which supposedly loves ketones, only 60 to 70% of the brain's needs can be met by ketones, and the rest, the brain has to have sugar. So this whole idea that ketones are somehow miraculous, they're miraculous fuel, is just flat dead wrong. So what I wanted to show people is that ketones aren't a great fuel, but ketones are doing really something special that we ought to pay attention to and find out if there's other ways to get the benefits of ketones without doing this really high-fat diet. And so that's the purpose of the book, to show people you can get the benefits of a ketogenic diet without the high-fat misery.
Well, let's now talk specifics. So what carbs are okay in this regimen? And like, I always like to just go breakfast, lunch, and dinner, although every time I say that, everyone goes, don't do breakfast. Like, okay, then snacks and dinner, or lunch and dinner. Oh, what would dinner look like under this new ketone world order?
Well, in a way, it depends on what you did the rest of the day. And you're right. The more I can get you to break fast breakfast at noon, the better off you're going to do, believe it or not, in producing ketones that are going to actually improve the efficiency of these little energy-producing organelles called mitochondria. And in the book, I hold your hand because, Adam, if I said, hey, I know you break breakfast at 7 o'clock in the morning, and tomorrow I want you to start eating breakfast at noon, you'll go, that's kind of a non-starter. I got to keep my brain smart. And if I try to do that, I'm probably going to crash and burn. So I'll go, Adam, this week, tell you what, let's eat breakfast at 8 o'clock instead of 7 o'clock. Come on, you can make an hour. And then I'll give you the weekend off. Do whatever you want during the weekend. Then next week, you made it to 8 o'clock. Why don't you join me at 9 o'clock for breakfast this week? And for 5 days, we'll do 9 o'clock for breakfast. Take the weekend off. The next week, come on, you made it to 9 o'clock. Let's go to 10 o'clock this week. So, and so on. Take the weekend off. By 5 weeks, you're eating breakfast, break fast at noon. Now, why should you do that? Let me give you a great example from the book. They took a bunch of Italian athletes, cyclists, and they put them on a training table. Most of us know what a training table is. They all, you know, they have to eat the same stuff. They followed them for 3 months at this training table. Everybody got the same food. The only difference between the two groups, one group ate in a 12-hour eating window. They had breakfast at 8 o'clock in the morning. They had lunch at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. They had to finish dinner by 8 o'clock at night. 12 hours eating window. The other group, same food. Break fast. Breakfast was at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Lunch was at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And dinner was at 8 o'clock at night. A 7-hour eating window. Now, here's the punchline. They both had exceptional athletic performance. Nobody had a problem. Only the 7-hour eating window guys lost weight, even though they were eating the exact same amount of food. And there's a marker of longevity that I measure in my clinic, along with a lot of other people, called IGF-1, insulin-like growth factor 1. It's probably the best marker of how well you're doing as an animal. The shortened eating window guys dropped their insulin-like growth factor, and the other guys didn't budge it. And why that's important is if we look at super old people, folks thriving in their late 90s, early 100s, they all have low insulin-like growth factors. So just by compressing the time of eating, these guys had all these benefits. So that's a really great trick. And it didn't matter what foods they were eating. They still got the benefit just by compressing their eating window. And again, I don't want you to start, you know, breakfast at noon tomorrow, because it's like learning a sport. You can't run a marathon by walking out the door. You got to train for it. And this is how we train for this. So that's number one.
All right. Let me just stop there for a second and say, I don't do breakfast, but I do coffee with some cream or MCT oil or something in it.
Perfect.
Oh, that's good. That's not opening the window more.
No, and I'm glad you brought that up because that's trick two. So let's go back to the little kids with seizures. It was found that kids, you know, like carbohydrates. Any of us with kids or now grandchildren know that kids like carbohydrates. And so it was hard to keep these kids on this program, even though they weren't having seizures. So fast forward to the 90s, where a lot of these kids on these drugs, they didn't have any seizures anymore, but the drugs, their brains didn't work very well. They were dull, let's put it that way. And so they came up with an idea that MCT oil, which you're putting in your coffee, works in a totally different way than other fats. It's a liquid, doesn't have any flavor. And MCT goes right to the liver and is converted into ketones, regardless of what else you're eating. So they found that they could put kids on MCT oil and give them back their carbohydrates and their proteins that they wanted to eat, and they'd still get protected from seizures. And when I found this literature now back in the 1990s, I said, oh my gosh, you know, here's a great workaround to producing ketones without a high-fat diet. So as I joke, so you could have a fresh fruit salad, please don't, but have some MCT oil and you'll produce ketones even though you had this big carbohydrate load. So that's exciting.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Here's what's even better. And I want you to start doing this in your coffee starting tomorrow. The MCT oils are named after the Latin word for goat, capra. So there's caprylic acid, there's capric acid. And you go, well, that's funny. Why would all these MCT oils be named after a goat? Well, it turns out that 30% of the fats in goats and sheep's milk are medium chain triglycerides, or MCTs. And so, lo and behold, you could put goat cheese in your MCT coffee and whip it up. You could put goat yogurt in your MCT coffee, or sheep yogurt or sheep cheese, and you get a double dose of MCT oil. What's even better, getting to dinner, why not have a piece of goat cheese or sheep cheese with your dinner or before dinner, and you'll make ketones despite having what you want to eat for dinner. So it's wow, what a great hack. What a trick.
Is there a difference? I hate goat cheese. Is there a difference between sheep cheese and goat cheese in terms of the flavor?
Yes, there is a big difference. So Manchego cheese, most people know. Yeah, so that's
Spanish
sheep cheese.
Yeah.
Pecorino cheese is sheep cheese. Okay. Now, lots of great goat cheeses out there that don't taste like feta. There's, believe it or not, there's goat mozzarella.
I don't mind feta cheese, and it's goat cheese. It's goat.
Like a bitter tanginess.
The goat milk or the goat. Trying to think of protesting.
That tanginess.
Yes. Yeah.
But now there's goat mozzarella. Trader Joe's has a fantastic goat brie that's absolutely delicious. There's all sorts of great products. People have gotten very clever in getting goat to taste good. How's that?
Well, I mean, between goat being an acronym for greatest of all time and now the MCT contributions, I mean, they've come a long way.
Their marketing guy's amazing. Yeah. We went on goat hike.
And believe it or not, in my book, I call goat yogurt and goat cheese, the goat of cheeses.
It have to be.
We had fresh goat milk after we went on this goat hike in the desert. It was the richest, most delicious thing I had ever tasted. And I didn't know what to expect. So I'm all in.
So what are these? All right. So let's consolidate here for a second. tell me if this is an accurate statement. You can do limited carbs in that smaller window we spoke of and still achieve success versus a broader window with
less carbs or no carbs. Is that a semi-accurate?
You can actually have a lot of carbohydrates if we compress that eating window, number one.
And what kind of carbohydrates do you speak of that are the healthy ones?
That's a great question. So as I've written in a bunch of my books, the real purpose of carbohydrates is to get fibers, soluble fibers that our gut bacteria actually have to have to grow and thrive. And those are, for instance, the chicory family, just to choose a bunch of vegetables, radicchio, like Italian red lettuce people talk about, Belgian endive, artichoke hearts, asparagus are loaded with the types of fibers, sugars that we can't digest, but our gut bugs, I call them our gut buddies, number one, love. And number two, these bacteria actually produce compounds called short chain fatty acids, and there won't be a test, like butyrate. Butter, by the name, was named after butyrate. And these things actually act just like ketones. So the more you eat for your bacteria and the more they produce these sorts of compounds, it's a win-win for everybody. Give you another great example, this butyrate. The cells that line our colon, our large intestine, have to eat butyrate to stay alive. They don't want anything else. They don't want sugar. They don't want blood. They have to have butyrate. And we know that people who don't eat a lot of fibrous foods, soluble fibers, have a much higher incidence of colon cancer. And that's because their colon cells aren't being nourished with what they actually have to be healthy.
Well, so two questions. First off, I feel like everyone just sort of want cauliflower nuts, you know, cauliflower pizza and cauliflower spaghetti and just cauliflower everything.
Rice.
Yeah. And then when I talked about carbs, you came back with what we think of as vegetables, but not what traditionally you think of carbs, bread, rice, grains, pasta. You know, pasta,
so,
that kind of stuff.
Believe it or not, there are good carbs in the grain family and bad carbs in the grain family. So I make, at Gundry MD, I make a sorghum pasta spaghetti that's phenomenal. It's got the mouthfeel, but it doesn't have any lectin-containing glutens. There are some great cassava flour pasta. There's a company out of Italy called Jovial, like a happy person, Jovial, that make all these fantastic cassava flour penne, ozzo, spaghetti, that you cannot tell the difference.
I'm writing this down.
Yeah, I'm serious. And it's in the book. Get the book. I've got an entire list of stuff you're going to love, breads that actually taste like bread. So these on this program are fair because they actually feed your good gut bugs.
So like the pasta you speak of.
Yeah.
Where would that sort of rank between just foregoing a pasta dish or portion on your plate and another vegetable? I mean, it'd probably be better to just put the second vegetable on there, but is this pasta the same, better, worse? I'm trying
and
to
no pasta.
I mean, is it a free lunch in nature, so to speak? I mean, can those of us who are half Italian and love pasta and just feel like we're just denying ourselves of this all the time? Because it's weird. Bread, I can kind of work around. I can do without. I can work around. But I love a goddamn pasta meal every once in a while. And are you saying this could be possible with this pasta?
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, remember, and I spent a lot of time in Italy studying these little towns and traditions. And, you know, pasta was actually originated as a way of getting vegetables and olive oil into your mouth. I mean, there's nothing interesting. I mean, pasta means paste, and that's what it was. It was paste. So this was a vehicle to get vegetables and olive oil and de-seeded peeled tomatoes into your mouth. And as I talk about in the book, using these safe pastas as a way of getting these what are called polyphenols into you is actually going to accomplish really great things that a ketogenic diet won't do. So we need to stop being afraid of carbohydrates that are going to benefit our health or are going to carry something into us that we should have. And that's what's so liberating about this program is you can have your cake and eat it too. But in this case, you can have your pasta and eat it too.
Well, what, you know, it's very confusing. You go to the Whole Foods, you go to the pasta section. It's all this pasta and they put a veggie picture of a vegetable in front of it. And at some point, it's got a bunch of rice powder and junk in it, tapioca and stuff. Yep. And you go, come on, man, this is not that. What words should we look for on the front of that package if we're just walking through the aisle of a upper scale market?
So, for instance, Whole Foods carries Jovial cassava flour pastas, and they have a whole selection of them. You could come to GundryMD.com and get my sorghum spaghetti. But there are more and more and more producers of safe, tasty, got the right mouthfeel pasta.
And what about weight gain with this strategy?
So the more you compress your eating window, the more weight you lose. And I show in the book the science of why that happens. There's nothing weird about why you lose weight doing this. You actually make your cells waste calories. And I talk about in the book, you know, if you wanted to be fuel efficient, you'd buy a Toyota Prius because gas prices are going up. You want to get a lot of mileage. But if you wanted to waste fuel, you'd buy a Ferrari. Now, Adam, you and I might want a Ferrari for other reasons than wasting fuel, but stay with the analogy. So if I want to waste calories, if I want to burn calories, I want to turn my cells into Ferraris rather than Toyota Priuses. And in the book, it details why these tricks actually turn you into a fuel-wasting Ferrari. So you can have all this great fuel and actually not put it on as pounds and literally waste it.
Where is a genius got questions, but I can't stop asking. What if one was to shrink this window, but one was to have a handful of cashews, you know, outside of the window, so to speak? Is it a window reset? Where does that kind of stuff factor in?
Great question. First of all, why anybody would eat cashews is beyond my imagination, because cashews are part of the poison ivy family. And there, as I talked about in my first book, there is so much dermatologic literature that cashews cause inflammation that you would be shocked.
But, oh, really?
Yeah.
So almonds outside?
No, peeled almonds are okay, but let's stick with the good stuff. Pistachios are by far the highest melatonin-created food there is, and melatonin actually helps with this process. So to get to your question, if you can't make it to noon for breakfast, then you can have a handful of nuts, like pistachios, like walnuts, like macadamia nuts or hazelnuts, and you will not stop the process. You will not go, you know, lose $200 and start again. And I show why that is. A good friend of mine, Dr. Walter Longo at USC, has proven that giving people a 200-calorie, basically nut bar, during this fasting period trying to get to noon doesn't break ketosis. So, and I give all these wonderful little tricks and hacks in the book. So if you can't make it longer, have a handful of nuts, but please don't have cashews.
Ate them last night. Gina.
Even though pistachios are carby, we don't care, is what you're saying.
Yeah, no. Again, it's not the carbs. Okay. Carbs have been vilified. It's the wrong kind of carbs. And if we get the right ones in and we do all these other tricks, like, heck, you know, have a piece of goat cheese with your melt some goat cheese on your spaghetti. What the heck?
Ooh, it sounds kind of good.
Well,
really good. I got a great recipe for goat and cabbage stew in the book.
Oh my God, what those farts would smell like. The pastas, I'm now enamored with this pasta notion here that you speak of, the right kind of pasta.
Right.
Is this to be consumed daily, biweekly, you know?
Great question. So here's the bad news. If anyone is overweight in this country, 88% of overweight people are what's called insulin resistant. They have no metabolic flexibility, and people are beginning to understand pre-diabetes or insulin resistant. And I see these people, believe it or not, if you're obese, 99.5% of people are insulin resistant. They cannot make a switch from burning carbohydrates as a fuel to burning fat as a fuel. So to answer your question, as long as you're narrowing this window, it allows you to get away with a lot more carbohydrates. But if you don't want to lower the window, then we got to initially back down on the carbohydrates until we teach you how to be not insulin resistant. And that we talk about that in the book as well.
I just had a quick question about the window. And I don't know if you consider that intermittent fasting or if that has to go
yes.
for days. Okay. So I have an 8-hour window. So I, you know, can start at 11, meal has to be done by 7. But what is your ideal window, or is it not a one size fits all question?
Well, so Dr. Matheson from the NIH has shown that a 6-hour window is probably the best. There have been 4-hour windows that have been researched that don't show any additional benefit. You may or may not know, I'm in my 23rd year of from January through June, 5 days a week, I eat my calories in a 2-hour window from 5 to 7 at night, so that I'm fasting 22 hours a day. I take the weekends off, and I've done that for 23 years now, so I know it's doable. It's called the OMAD diet, one meal mm-hmm. a day. And you take the weekends off because, Adam, otherwise you would go mad doing the OMAD diet.
Good.
Well said.
Let me write that down, Doc. I got goat cheese. I got jovial pasta.
Goat cheese, go mad.
And oh,
there
man.
You go.
Well, this is very interesting, and I love your info. We should get you on here with the Vinny Tortorich, and you guys can debate in a friendly manner, because I think he has a few opinions that differ from yours, although I think everyone agrees on the window. The window is eminently doable once you train yourself to do it.
Absolutely.
You do not miss it.
No,
I leave the house. I come here every day. I never schedule lunch. I'm fine the whole day. Cup of coffee, a little cream or goat milk or sheep milk, a little MCT. You will sail through the day. Most of it is a habit.
Yes.
It's much less an actual biological event than it is, I'm making a lunch run. Who's in? Mm. You know, that.
And what? Same thing on the other side after dinner.
Right.
What people always say to kids, you're not hungry, you're bored.
Right.
If you're not hungry.
All right. Let me give a plug for the great doctor here. Unlocking the Keto Code, the revolutionary new science of keto that offers more benefits without deprivation. God bless you, doctor. Check in with us now and again. Good luck on the new books available on Amazon. As we speak in the podcast, Dr. Gundry podcast is where you can get a lot of this information as well. Always, always interesting and thought-provoking.
Great to see you guys, and thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. All right. We have Jessica Kirsten, comedian out there, waiting to come in. First, there's Cuts. We've got too much on our mind. Last thing we need is to spend energy on what to wear. Cuts Clothing has perfected the art of science of men's shirts, so you can throw one on and look great without thinking twice. Cuts has all the essentials, tees, hoodies, polos, and more. They make it easy to mix and match styles and colors so you can find the perfect style. This stuff is top shelf. It's good stuff. I wear Cuts. It is so much better than the stuff you're currently wearing. They even patented their own insanely soft fabric that will not shrink or pull or fade over time in the wash. Step up your game and let's get some Cuts clothing. Am I right, Dawson?
Join hundreds of thousands of guys who have made the simple decision to elevate their wardrobe with Cuts. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Corolla. That's C-U-T-S clothing.com/Corolla for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing.
I'm already thinking about my pasta, my jovial pasta. Well, I just am such a sucker for a pasta dish, and the problem is when you're trying to go keto, you go, all right, well, that'll be the end of that pasta parade. Yeah. And then you go, well, what about the alternative plant-based? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's all bullshit, you know, but if there is something good out there, I'll give it a try.
You guys know I've been keto for a number of years, and I used to miss beer a lot, but liquor's good, it does the job, wine, whatever. Bread, pasta, and I've been fantasizing about cereal recently.
Oh,
but there's
cereal.
No other kinds of cereal that'll do the trick.
Right.
That's
yeah.
Crunchy flakes.
And it's all
what I wouldn't give.
It's all from the, you know, it's all from my mom's playbook, which is this granola was thrown in a pottery jar that a guy with a man bun made, and it's sweetened
it's
with molasses and honey and brown sugar, and it's got nuts in it.
Nature's
from
candy.
Sugar.
Nature.
And it's like, yeah, tell that to my liver. It's the fucking same thing. I got one question for you. Are you enjoying your granola?
And how?
Well, then it's fucking killing you. You like your Green Machine drink, Garrett Dawson?
Pretty good.
Don't drink it anymore.
Right, but it tasted good.
Goddamn right.
It did.
You know what? It's all of life can be covered with this smoothie.
Yeah.
The smoothie, oh, it's so, tastes like papaya and honey and bananas. Like, yeah, it's good.
It's real good.
It's good. All right, Jessica Kirsten, comedian, is going to be in here right after this.
Watch Yellowstone for free on Pluto TV. All this weekend, Pluto TV is streaming a marathon of seasons 1 to 3 of Yellowstone, the show the rap calls a smash hit series. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Mission Impossible 3, Gladiator, CSI, and more. Absolutely free. So download the free Pluto TV streaming app and watch Yellowstone seasons 1 to 3 free.